House by Christopher Lee, featuring Julian Glover as Sir Charles Bannister and Peter Kelly as Dougal Baxter.
Morning, sir.
Morning, Mr. Sharp. Good weekend.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Excellent.
Sir Charles. Sir?
Yes?
A message from Rose, sir. She's having to have another week off. I saw her yesterday.
On a Sunday? What was she doing in on a Sunday, for goodness sake?
There wasn't, sir. Erne Bay, you know, where her mum is. Lovely place. Went down to see her, I did.
You did?
Yes, sir.
Whatever for?
Sunday dinner, sir. Took her, and her old mum, of course, out for a roast. Likes a Sunday roast as her mum. Mine was the same, you know.
Is her mother ill?
Oh, don't think so, sir. Likes her food, she does. Nice old biddy. Morning, Mr. Baxter.
Ah, there you are, Charles.
Well, thank you, Mr. Sharp.
Good morning, sir.
Most curious thing. Our Mr. Sharp went down to Herne Bay. He actually went down and gave Rose and her mother lunch.
Is that curious?
Of course it is, after all. Rose, well, if they were that friendly, I would have thought I'd have known. Now, she has been with me for...
Charles, you and I have something far more serious to discuss.
Oh. Come on.
Coffee.
What time do we get there?
Given it's half an hour late, not before 12:30.
Damn.
You could have gone up with your father first thing. Or even with young Nick last night.
You sound just like Daddy. He's not young Nick.
Oh, he is when you get to my age. Sorry.
Do you like him?
Holly, what a silly question.
Oh, that's right, it would be. I only asked silly questions. Sorry, I forgot.
Yes, I do like him. So does Daddy.
Really?
Really. Don't be so sensitive.
Well, you can hardly blame me after Friday. You and Daddy were really horrid.
I'm sorry. I didn't intend to be, and Daddy was being...
Well,
Daddy.
Nick didn't know that, and he was amazingly embarrassed.
I thought we were being broad-minded.
Well, that's amazingly hurtful.
I've said I'm sorry.
You really thought we were sleeping together, didn't you?
I suppose we did.
Nick is different.
Oh, here she comes.
Not everyone sleeps around.
And what might that mean?
Oh, whatever you want it to.
Alex... We thought you got off at Salisbury. Oh,
sorry, there was a queue a mile long. Oh, here we are. Chocolate chip cookies. He insisted the coffee is coffee.
Thanks.
Did I come back too soon?
Why?
Tight smiles and long faces. Same expression Father had each time he paid the school fees. Sorry.
You're slipping, Charles. You, of all people, should know that he's got to be told.
Tell him what? There's a rumour? There's always a rumour.
This isn't a rumour, Charles. This is mischief, and that means it's spiteful.
All we've had so far is a couple of poisonous letters, the usual rumour during the drunken rounds at Annie's and Henry's, people saying something's going on, but they don't know what.
You do know MI5's got another tap on ministerial phones. Everyone knows something's going on.
But you're not the one who has to go into number 10 with it.
Charles, we're talking about a quiet word in the bombardier's ear. Not a long blast on the klaxon and the last one in the bunkers are sissy.
Look, there's something you don't know. Henry was in Washington last week.
Bully for Henry.
He was talking to his CIA friend. Anyway, it seems that they too have heard something.
Well, they've always heard something. It's usually a disinformation rumour they started themselves and forgotten about.
Henry thinks not. Now, if they've heard, then we've got to be absolutely certain of our evidence before we talk to the PM.
Well, you're the one who's always insisted the Prime Minister should never be surprised.
And nor should he, but in this case...
So what are you going to tell him when the papers get hold of it and he says, why didn't anyone tell me? Charles, there isn't something you're not telling me, is there?
Such as what?
Such as it's a little too close to home? Is that why you won't tell him?
You're hoping it'll go away.
Anything new in the postman, George?
Oh, hello, sir.
Well, is there?
Look, Mr. Wigton, I wonder if you'd do me a favour.
Any time, you know me.
Would you oblige me and forget what I said on Friday about the...
Oh, the funny letters. Now, why should I forget something like that? As you said, all a bit juicy, wasn't it?
Well, that's just it, sir. Sir Charles had told me not to mention the matter.
But you did.
Well, I had a bit of a wobble on, didn't I? I wouldn't like him to think I'd been letting on his private business.
Don't you worry, George. Pull your leg. Of course I won't mention it.
Thank you very much, sir. If he got a whiff of it, then that could be me. Down among the dead men.
You what?
Oh, you know, sir. Old Charlie Chester, wasn't it? Down among the dead men living in a tent. Better than a prefab. No rent.
Where's he getting that from?
Well, it could be me out of a job, that's all, sir. I'm too old for a tent.
Oh, don't you worry. Just between you, me and the gatepost. Of course, you will let me know if another one turns up, won't you now?
About your devotions again?
Oh, well, okay. The Admiral, yes, I suppose he is something of a shrine for me. Didn't always get it right, but when he did, he was very, very right.
Don't I know it?
Hmm?
The long lecture about loyalty?
Of course, I'd forgotten. That was ages ago, I'm surprised you remember.
You did manage to reduce me to one step above tears. What was it now? Beware of Dougal, he will dump me if it suits him.
I certainly didn't say that.
Oh, no. Far too clever. Analogies with your famous Admiral friend here. But we both knew what you meant.
I hear you're still good friends, you know, out together and other things.
Hardly. Why do you think I want to change jobs? His ego and his deviousness grows in direct proportion to his lack of influence.
I seem to remember a certain young lady demonstrating her own talents for manipulation. Hmm?
A conference.
Mm-hmm.
You do this wench a wrong, sir. That was not deviousness. That was helping the gentleman out of a pretty pickle.
And now we're friends.
Hopefully, but nothing more.
Close friends, after all.
Did your wife ever say anything?
Mary? No, I told you before. There was nothing to say.
You mean she knocked on the door in the nick of time? Or was I imagining things?
But nothing happened.
You sound as if you said that before. I'm sorry, it's just that, well, let's say party conferences will never be the same again.
Well...
Oh, don't worry, I may kiss, but I can promise you I'd never tell.
You do see why it would be unwise for you to come and work in an apartment.
Don't. I won't embarrass you. I am too old and I don't yet drink enough to be the clinging type.
Kay, just for one moment, imagine the tensions. Dougal would be upset and Rose would feel insecure.
So, the fierce reputation hides an insecurity I'd never have guessed.
I have obligations to her which I will honour. It's called loyalty, remember?
I do. I've had the lecture. I wonder if your wife has.
I'm not sure we're going to clear this lot in time. I'll be glad when it's finished and published.
Don't be glummy. Think of it as striking a blow for women.
We've said nothing new, and if it wasn't the Prime Minister's wife in the chair, every editor would bin it on sight.
So what? It's been fun.
Oh, madly exciting.
Cynic?
See you. You off then, Polly? Anything you want, I'm meeting Nick for lunch.
Don't think so. Anywhere nice?
What's that supposed to mean?
Just a question. Anywhere nice, nothing more.
Yes, it is. You're saying that he might take me somewhere that isn't nice.
Bye, darling. Have a nice afternoon. Oh.
Very touchy about him. You think they'll end up together?
Polly is touchy about everything. She's 22 and she's been going through a difficult phase since she was 12.
I'm not interfering, Mary, but she's a bit young for twin sets and pearls.
There's no age group for being stupid, is there?
I walked into that.
You wanted to.
You think I'm stupid?
He's married. He's let you down. He's used you. He's made you cry. And he's made you cry again. And I'm quoting you. So, yes, I suppose I do.
You've forgotten, and it's all impossible.
No, I've left that one for you. But from what you said, he's made it clear he would never leave her, so...
So that makes me his unpaid whore.
If it makes you feel any better, yes.
Give you one for nothing, Chief. This Rio stuff's got to be worth riding.
Oh, it's not an issue. People are too hard up to be green.
Not so, Chief. This one screams, I told you so. Especially if you base it on some of this university research.
Are you out of your head? On a scale of 1 to 10, the yawn factor of an environment speech is 12.
But if you've got 63 research programs to back you and...
You don't refer to them in your speech.
It comes over as your idea.
Yeah.
When you're attacked, the research groups will write to the Times and every other paper, demand to appear before the select committee, and you'll be a hero. Oh,
I like the sound of that.
I can always work on it, Chief.
Well, don't get too carried away, Nick. I used to say any of us will still be around.
Yeah. A shuffle, eh?
Only this time you'll have to do more than move the place card. No, you're right. Perhaps we should wait until I'm back in Cabinet.
And if there's an election?
Well, the economy is running our way. And they haven't got a policy on anything about the return of the Elgin Marbles. No need to worry for a few years.
Hmm. One scandal across the front pages could change all that.
Scandal? Who mentioned scandal? Well, thank you, Nick. Thank you. Where is Kate?
I tell you one thing. This place takes about as much notice of bad rumours as it does adjournment debates.
Come on, Dennis. A rumour, nothing more.
Then why are you bothering to tell me? If there was nothing in it, you'd be laughing your head off.
I never laugh aside moral indiscretion.
You take it seriously?
Naturally, and so do you.
Oh, I do, all right. But that's because chance would be a fine thing.
Well, nothing to do with me. But there are many things which are, so if you're...
Off to see the post, but are we?
So, if you'll excuse me.
There you go, Pop. One salt beef.
Mm.
Just like Mama used to make.
Oh, don't.
Oh, another round.
Episode 3 million in the series.
Oh, I see.
Everywhere we go, there's hassle. Why?
I don't know. You should have been in this morning. She was all over him.
You're joking.
No, honest, didn't you? She was really nice to him.
But she's been horrid. I mean, even Dookie's noticed.
No, she even liked his speech.
What's she up to?
Change of heart.
Oh, she hasn't got one.
You know, Paul, how is it that whenever there's something good going on, we reckon there's got to be an angle?
It's the house. That's what it's for.
Hmm. What do you say we try something else, eh?
You mean leave? To do what?
Oh, I've got a couple of ideas.
Wait a minute. You said we.
Bisto. That's one of them. What do you reckon, Paul? Give it a try.
You've spoken to Sharp, of course.
Actually, no. It's immaterial now. But if necessary, I'll have a word with the sergeant-at-arms. It'll be up to him to discipline the man.
What was he thinking? Wigan is an unscrupulous lout at the best of times.
We don't know that Sharp told him.
Well, no one else knew.
But that is an assumption, Dougal, about which I'd rather not think.
Oh, dear.
Indeed.
Well, let's think this through. A man comes into the central lobby and gives Sharp a letter for you.
Twice.
Each time Sharp delivers it in person, and as far as we know, at that stage tells no one.
The letter contains allegations about the conduct of a senior member of the party, remember? Therefore, it is possible that whoever delivered the letter was but the messenger.
And the person who knew what was going on...
Or persons.
...spread the rumour in the house. But even Kay's heard it. They'll be putting details on the notice boards next.
You're right. This is getting out of hand. And it's my fault. Hello? Charles Bannister here. I'd like to see the Prime Minister as soon as possible. Hmm? Oh, yes, of course. You can say it's a matter of some urgency.
Darling?
Hi. In here.
Hello there.
Hello.
I'm not stopping. Just popped in to say, well, sorry, really.
Oh, Charles. Salmon.
It'll keep, won't it?
It usually does.
I really am sorry. Promise. I have to go over to number 10.
They do cold chicken and nasty German wines there. You know how grumpy you get afterwards.
Seriously, it's something rather important.
Charles, you're frowning. Sit down.
Look, Mary, this is strictly between ourselves, understand?
Go on, darling.
Even that sounds ludicrous. It's supposed to be strictly between you and me, but everywhere I go, someone else seems to know.
It's called Westminster. Proper secrets aren't fun.
Darling, please.
Sorry. Ready now.
This is rather important.
Of course it is, Charles. You're taking ages telling me.
The fact is, we have a scandal on our hands.
Polly?
My godfather, James, no, not us, government.
I didn't think you'd have been so worried about family.
Mary, I wish you wouldn't.
Yes, you do, Charles. It makes you feel superior. Now, go on. Scandal.
Well, that's just it. I don't know.
Then your little meeting won't take long. I'll keep the salmon out.
There's no solid evidence. Even Henry hasn't much.
Darling, surely Henry's told you. Since the spending cuts, MI6 gets all its secret information from fortune cookies. Sorry.
All we know is that there's a rumour that someone in, we think, high office is having, well, not to put too fine a point on it, an affair.
I see. Have you any idea who it is and who the other person is?
Not exactly.
But close.
I think it's someone we know.
Oh, do you? Does anyone else think this?
The botheration is that I'm quite sure Henry does.
He'd be furious if he didn't.
Yes, but you know Henry never gives anything away unless it's in the collection.
What will you do?
tell the PM. He has to know. It's his right to be warned on these occasions.
And yours to carry the warning.
I'd have called it duty.
So you would. Charles...
I must go. Dougal's walking over to 10 with me.
Charles, can I just say something?
Don't tell me. You know who it is, and you're claiming the prize.
Charles...
Tell me this evening. All right. Bye.
Bye, darling. Bye. Oh, dear. Hi. It's me. Fancy another walk in the park.
Ah, Dennis, the very man. What happened to that list of yours?
I've got better things to do than making up shopping lists for that con man.
Dougal was perfectly serious.
Oh, yeah. Nothing in it for your lot.
Let's simply say everyone benefits. You produce a wish list and Dougal as chairman, of course, tables it. We investigate and that way no one, especially you, can say we're biased.
I'm not daft, Charlie. Far from it.
I should warn you, he'll make it clear that you wouldn't cooperate.
That'd not be cooperation. Collaboration, more likely. They used to shoot people in the war for that sort of thing.
Now we call it social conscience, and the newspapers pay fortunes for it. Strange world.
Is that it, then?
Oh, well, there was one small matter.
I was wondering when we were coming to it.
I assume it was Sharp who mentioned...
Oh, do you now?
Just out of interest, you understand.
Oh, too right, I do.
It's a question of internal discipline, you know, nothing else.
In that case, you'd best be talking to the sergeant-at-arms, not me.
The sergeant? Yes. But I rather hope it won't come to that. Pity, but there we are. He was mightily concerned, I can tell you.
The sergeant always is. Thinks he owns the place.
He works for the person who does. Which is good enough. No, I have no regrets. Sharp stepped out of line. End of story.
Unless he tells it to others.
I don't think so. Fundamentally, Sharp's a good hand. He'll get a good dressing down, and he'll understand the reasons.
The days are gone when estate workers touched their caps and said, "Thank ye, three bags full," to the magistrate. You sure you haven't made an enemy?
Procedures are procedures, Dougal.
You realise it might not have been Sharp. Someone else could have told Wigton.
Let's just leave it to the sergeant. It's his job now.
But we do know someone else he has spoken to.
Sharp? Who?
When a bachelor travels 70-odd miles to give a lady and her mother lunch, he's obviously out to impress.
You think he might have told Rose?
Of course I do. So should you.
He doesn't know what was inside the envelope.
But that's what kettles are for.
One indiscretion on his part doesn't lead to what would be a criminal act. I've told you, he's totally trustworthy.
Trustworthy enough to tell Wigton when you told him not to.
I fail to see what this has to do with Rose. If what you're saying is anywhere near the truth, then that questions her loyalty. That I will not have.
Well, I wouldn't do that. You know, Rose and I sometimes have differences. But I would never question her loyalty.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Absolutely scandalous notion. Especially when the poor woman's away and can't answer it.
I thought that odd. Sharp giving you that message from Rose, you know, that she wouldn't be back for a few days.
A little curious, I suppose.
And a little curious that she never telephoned you herself.
I tell you, George, I never said a word.
Thought I could count on you, sir, I did. Thought I could.
I promise you. Then how the hell did he know I told you? Had to be you. Sir Charles wouldn't have said nothing. Okay, he wouldn't.
Not him, Mr. Wigton. He's the old school. He'd have had it out with me personally.
But don't you see, George, you're not the old school. You get thrown to the wolves, or in this case, the sergeant at arms.
Can't believe that, sir.
You better.
You really think it was him?
So do you, if you're honest with yourself. No, not Sir Charles. Work it out for yourself. When you have, you and me better have a chat. Better tell me what you know.
And drop myself right in it. Oh, yeah.
You're already right in it. But maybe, maybe, mind, we can use what you know to get you out again.
And what's in it for you?
I tell you what, have another one and let's go sit over there. Come on. Oh. Then you can tell me in your own time, right?
Look, Mr. Wigton...
Hey, man, when you're ready, white shoe for me and a warm pass for Mr. Sharp. Make it a large one.
So much more civilised to resolve matters of urgency over a sensible bit of fish.
Pity about the wine.
You suppose someone gave it to them as a dining present?
Not in Downing Street.
He was quite decisive.
Once you'd explained what he had to do.
Did I?
You did.
You think he noticed?
He did it.
He's quite decisive once he understands the decision he's to make.
Should have seen him yesterday when I first told him.
So you said. A display of nervousness.
Right. But tonight, well, you saw for yourself.
The squadron returned. Winko ruffles the mongrel's ear, moves Queen's Pawn and settles into the sunshine of Biggin Hill. It's known as recovery, dear heart.
There's more to it, isn't there?
Shouldn't have thought so.
I watched you tonight. You never took your eyes off him. What haven't you told me, old man?
Nothing that diverts our attention.
I'd like to know.
And now we go for the kill. Most satisfying.
I still find it hard to condone tapping.
I thought your compromise most suitable. And remember, Charles, the innocent have nothing to fear.
But they still have the right to privacy.
Come now, dear heart. In a true democracy, there is no need for privacy. All is for the common good.
Don't leave traces of democracy in the dustbin. The snoopers will be rummaging after lights out. I wonder what old Disraeli would have made of this sort of thing.
He would have written another novel. He was a scoundrel.
You're right, of course. But I must say I feel for the poor blighter, whoever he is.
And not for the blighteress. How interesting, Charles. How very interesting.
The House featured Julian Glover as Sir Charles Bannister, Peter Kelly as Dougal Baxter, Isla Blair as Mary, Jane Booker, Kay, Ruth Gemmell, Polly, Julian Dutton, Nick, Trevor Peacock, Wigton, Caroline Bliss, Alex, and Norman Bird as Sharp. It was written by Christopher Lee and produced by Neil Cargill.